This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
First, more questions, though, for the Secret Service acting director facing questions on the Trump assassination attempt. This is after the former head of the agency resigned. There is another Senate hearing today. Says they can't defend not covering that roof.
CBS News special report. The acting director of the Secret Service is appearing before a joint Senate committee on Capitol Hill right now, answering questions about the agency's missteps ahead of the assassination attempt on former President Trump. Ronald Rowe says he visited the sniper's perch after the rally in Pennsylvania July 13th.
What I saw made me ashamed. As a career law enforcement officer and a 25-year veteran with the Secret Service, I cannot defend why that roof was not better secured.
Michigan Democrat Gary Peters.
By all accounts, this was an inexcusable security and planning failure.
Kentucky Republican Rand Paul demanding to know,
why was Donald Trump allowed to take the stage, and why wasn't he removed from the stage when a suspicious individual was taking increasingly suspicious activities?
Mr. Trump is vowing to continue hosting outdoor rallies. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
7:32, back with Mike and Vicky, and the guy who was punched in the face during an arrest by an LAPD officer when he was cuffed in front of people saying they were recording the event. Well, that guy is now lawyered up, plans a news conference later this morning to talk about it. Let's get the latest live from our John Barrett.
Well, the man who was punched by the officer with the incident captured on video, that happened during a traffic stop that was in Compton on Sunday. Officers looked like they were putting handcuffs on him. It wasn't clear whether they had one on or two on, but then all of a sudden, one of the officers just hits the man in the face.
What did I do to him?
Oh! Now, civil rights leaders here and activists, they want to see the officer charged with a crime. LAPD says they're investigating. They've taken the officer off patrol. He's out of the field right now. Defense attorney Steve Meister, who is not handling this case, is a former prosecutor. He says the DA's office has a lot to do before making any kind of decision, like they have to track down every witness and piece of video they can, and more.
Like the body cam footage, like the video footage of anyone who was there who will let the police look at their phones, to the officer's history, and they're going to look at his partner. The puncher's partner is going to be scrutinized for what he did or didn't do during the stop.
So a lot to do while some in the public are demanding action. A police internal investigation is underway, and the DA's investigation will happen. Meantime, we have the news conference with the man's attorney and family members and activists. That's at 9 o'clock this morning, and we have the police commission meeting as well.
All right, John, thanks. Encino hit again by burglars, this time a home in the hills on Bellina Drive near Havenhurst. It was around 10:30 last night. Police responded when the alarms went off. Nobody home at the time, but they say several people were in there robbing the place. And then KTLA says earlier in the day, another home, this one Morrison near Balboa, was hit. The guy reportedly broke in while a nanny and a four-year-old were inside, getting away with some designer bags. A woman and child were not hurt.
The Park Fire, that's that huge one up near Chico in Northern California, just keeps growing, and close to 400,000 acres now. A Cal Fire spokesman says the shift in the weather now is going to make it harder for firefighters.
I think 100 structures that have been damaged, no casualties, no injuries so far, so it's very successful on that end. Right now, what we're anticipating is the weather is going to start rising in temperature, so that's going to present a challenge in itself.
Guy accused of sparking the fire made his first court appearance yesterday, charged with reckless arson.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
Former President Donald Trump sat down with Fox News last night and said he is open to debating the Vice President Kamala Harris. He added that it should take place before the vote start to be cast. His comments come after he declined to commit to appear to a scheduled debate. And we talked about it with Bloomberg White House and political reporter Stephanie Lai about when the debate may actually happen.
The last thing that we've been told was that, you know, he does want to debate. It just, you know, they don't want to commit until they know who the Democratic nominee is. And so we are expecting the Democratic National Committee to officially nominate Vice President Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, you know, within the next few weeks here. So, you know, hopefully we'll get more clarity. But until then, you know, they've sort of just backed away a little bit. And in some ways, this is almost an insurance policy should they decide, you know, that it's not strategic for them to do this.
When would we expect it to happen if it happens? There's the preset ABC debate that was September that was going to be Trump and Biden. And then Trump started saying, you know what? I don't like that. Let's do it on Fox. And that kind of fell apart, or at least hit pause. Are we going to get one earlier than September? Or are we still like eyeing that?
I think something that Trump had brought up yesterday actually sort of pokes at that. You know, before he and his campaign had seemed to say that the September date was okay. It was just a matter of who the network would be. But in the interview that he did with Fox News yesterday, he said that we should be doing this interview this debate before early voting begins. And so possibly that would mean that the September date isn't early enough and he might want to do it in August. But of course, we're running up on a really tight deadline since we're already entering that month just shortly. So it is a little unclear still, but, you know, hopefully they can figure something out between now and then.
If he doesn't do it, is it a bad look for him? Because even the host he was talking to there on Fox, Laura Ingraham, was saying, if you don't, you're going to open yourself up to criticism that you're scared of her, that you're going to look weak.
Right. I think something that the campaign had done during the primary could potentially help them couch those concerns. He refused to debate the other Republican rivals, like, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. And at that time, folks were also saying that this could show that you're just afraid to debate them. And despite those concerns being raised, it didn't actually seem like it really impacted his campaign. Their argument was always that Trump was way ahead, that he didn't necessarily need to do this. But again, it does seem like he does want to debate. It's just really a matter of figuring out the small details of it.
Any issues for her? I mean, she's been saying, look, I'm ready to prosecute his case. I'm a prosecutor. But talk about being out of practice. She didn't do too well when she was running for the Democratic ticket the first time. And if the honeymoon period she's in right now has worn off by the time this debate happens, I mean, it's always scary territory when you're up there and it's one other person.
Certainly. This is also a risk for the Harris campaign. But at the same time, it seems like they have more to gain here. You know, the fact that Harris doesn't necessarily have the name ID that Trump has, a lot of Americans are not familiar with what her platform would be, you know, her past successes in office. And so this is really the opportunity for her to introduce herself. But again, as you mentioned, that also comes with risks.
Real quick before we let you go, have they figured out their attack lines on her yet, the Trump campaign to Kamala Harris? Because he's been out there at the different events kind of testing them out. What is starting to stick?
Yeah, I think one thing that comes up time and time again is this phrase that she's dangerously liberal. In fact, the campaign actually released an ad this morning that also has that phrasing. They've tried to call her incompetent, you know, tie her to the record that the Biden administration has had on immigration and economy. Of course, those things keep coming up, but something that I think is a succinct phrase that they keep using is that one.
That is Bloomberg's White House and political reporter, Stephanie Lai. LA County Supervisors should decide today whether you'll be voting to add four more members to the board, as five now, and the residents of Rancho Palos Verdes who had their gas shut off will get a chance to have their questions answered tomorrow. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, Kamala Harris campaigning in Atlanta today. CBS political campaign reporter Nydia Cavazos covering this event says Harris is focused on moving things forward.
Harris has been focused on defending her record against former President Donald Trump. And so we can expect a similar message as we've seen on the trail since she became the likely Democratic presidential candidate, which is, of course, highlighting what she has done to advance reproductive rights on gun violence. And we know that her message is really centered on moving the country forward and not going back, as she's been saying across multiple states for the past week.
Biden won Georgia in 2020, but it was such a thin margin.
Some on the left have accused Kamala Harris of being too tough on those convicted of crimes, and many on the right have painted her as too soft. Megan Goldsby reports, turns out that her record in California isn't so black and white.
While working in the DA's office in both Alameda and San Francisco and as the state's attorney general, now Vice President Kamala Harris considered herself smart on crime, says Tanish Hollins. She's executive director of Californians for Safety and Justice and the state director of Crime Survivors for Safety and Justice.
Was one of the very early prosecutors to start looking at prevention and other types of interventions as a way to reduce crime.
Public safety has become a political football, says Hollins.
I think for most voters, what folks are looking for are actual solutions, and they're looking for accountability.
And she says as the vice president runs her election campaign against someone who's been convicted of dozens of felonies, she believes
folks who are looking for actual safety and solutions might see more of an opportunity to do that with the current vice president.
I'm Megan Goldsby, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Legislation controversial aimed at protecting kids from social media expected to get through the Senate today. U.S. Senate Jeffrey Schaub says it's supported by parents group and some companies like Microsoft and X and Snap. But others say it's going to violate the First Amendment rights.
If you're old enough to remember this,
you've got mail.
You're old enough to remember the last time Congress tackled children's online safety. Now anything under the sun and beyond is on the internet, and children and family therapist Jennifer Kelman says a lot of it can be harmful to kids.
The analogy I always like to make is phones and device use release the feel-good chemicals, the same feel-good chemicals that drugs and alcohol release in our brains. And yet, we don't invite the drug dealer into our home.
The Kids Online Safety Act would require social media platforms to take steps to prevent and mitigate harms to children, including bullying, violence, promotion of suicide, and sexual exploitation. Several social media giants support the legislation.
L.A. County Board of Supervisors expected to cast a final vote on putting a series of proposed county charter amendments on the November ballot. If voters approve it, the board would expand to 9 members in 2030, and the county CEO would become an elected position by 2028. Measure would also create an ethics commission, a compliance officer, and a county legislative analyst. Supervisor Catherine Barger and Holly Mitchell, another supervisor, voted against the idea last week. Because they are, well, against the proposal to make the CEO an elected position, saying that job should remain fully nonpartisan.
People in Rancho Palos Verdes who had the gas shut off because of the sliding land get invited to a community meeting tomorrow for more info. Pete Dimitrios is county supervisor that represents the area. Not happy.
Supervisor Janice Hahn tells KNX, while the public safety of those living in the area is at the top of everyone's agenda, including Southern California Gas, the short notice of the shutoff was not acceptable.
For Southern California Gas Company to notify these residents Friday afternoon for a 9 a.m. shutoff Monday morning, I think was a little abrupt and didn't give people enough time to prepare.
Hahn says the shutoff put people in an untenable situation.
There were people who were scrambling to do their laundry quickly and make extra casseroles to sustain them indefinitely while their gas is shut off. So I think the gas company could have done better.
Southern California Gas, in a statement, indicates they believe a $2,500 one-time stipend to help people pay for needs or buy non-gas equipment and appliances is sufficient. Hahn and many homeowners disagree. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The meeting is at 6 at the Ladera Linda Community Center.
New study delves into the income gap and how it's impacted by race. Here's Donna Warder.
Researchers at Harvard University and the U.S. Census Bureau say that the income gap between white and black young adults was narrower for millennials than for Generation X. The study says that by age 27, black Americans born in 1978 to poor parents ended up earning almost $13,000 a year less than white Americans born to poor parents. But that gap narrowed to about $9,500. $100 for those born in 1992. Researchers say the shrinking gap between races was due to greater income mobility for poor black children and drops in income mobility for low-income white children. A study also says that white Americans born to poor parents in 1978 earned about $10,300 less than white Americans born to wealthy parents. And for white Americans born in 1992, the class gap increased to about $13,200. I'm Donna Warder.
20 minutes of nonstop news. You going places this summer? How has it been for you? Been a messy season. We've had the cancellations of weather problems. We've had the computer crash all around the world. We had Delta trying to recover for a week when that happened. How do you get something from these airlines if your trip gets ruined? KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg is with us.
Good morning, Peter.
And good morning, guys.
You know, I just think you are so, so lucky. Anyone is, if they can go on a vacation, fly somewhere, and come back, and they're not either delayed or canceled.
Someone says, great, my trip was great. You're like, really, it was.
Did you make it? You weren't canceled? I mean, if you are, which our producer was traveling recently, great vacation until, his flight was canceled, and then he had to go through all that. So what rights do we actually have?
Well, let's start with the basic ones, which have been in place for quite some time. If an airline cancels your flight for any reason whatsoever, you're entitled to a full and complete refund immediately back to your original form of purchase. And a lot of airlines are not exactly being forthcoming about this. They're offering flight credits or vouchers for future flights or even frequent flyer bonus miles, which I happen to think is the biggest insult. The reality is they have to give you that refund no matter what. You need to remind them of that. Now, here comes the gray area. What are you also entitled to if your flight is canceled or delayed in terms of compensation, covering a lot of unanticipated expenses? And this gets down to a definition of the word controllable. Was the problem under the airline's control? Was it maintenance? Was it a lack of a crew member? Was it basically a system problem basically on the airline's fault? And the answer is, yes, you are then entitled to reimbursement and compensation. It's not a legal definition yet, simply because the U.S. Department of Transportation hasn't codified a passenger bill of rights. However, the precedent has been set way back in December of 22 by Southwest Airlines, meaning they'll cover your alternate forms of transportation. If you had to fly on another airline at a much more expensive ticket, or you had to rent a car, or you had to buy clothing because you were stuck at an intermediate airport with no baggage. Some of the airlines have even covered your babysitting expenses, your dog sitting expenses, medical expenses. Now, they can't necessarily cover you, or they won't necessarily cover you if you missed a job interview or you lost a business meeting. That's another issue legally where you have to prove damages in court. But in terms of your rights, basically in terms of compensation, that precedent's been set and you can get that compensation. But I got to warn you guys.
Yeah.
It gets down to the definition of the word, was this under the airline's control? You mentioned Delta Airlines last week. Delta was arguing that the system failure with the software crash wasn't
It wasn't us, it was the other guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? The US DOT said, we beg to differ. You are the ones who bought that system. You're the ones that didn't have the backup. It's under your control. Pay up.
Who do I fight that fight with? Is it the desk agent who has a line that's an hour long? Or is it the Twitter people? Or is it on the phone? Or is it like all three?
It's almost none of the above. Start with two words, keep receipts, get full names and titles, even the people you talk to on the phone or in person on those dreadedly long lines. And then don't expect compensation immediately for that. No one's standing at the airport writing checks. However, the precedent has been set. Go home, get those receipts, and then make sure you copy that letter to the U.S. Department of Transportation.